Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
People do. It needs to be the drive within for us to pursue Him. You know, I know that we all have gone through times when we've been a little lax in one or more of those areas of prayer, spending time in the Word, pursuing God. I mean, every one of us has. If you've been doing this for any length of time, you've gone through a period of your life where you realize, you know what, I've kind of slacked off on my prayer life, or haven't spent any time in the Word in a while, or, you know. And that's a good, you know, we need to, like I said, we need to do those checkups and make sure where we are. But, it seems like a lot of people, a great many believers, are more interested in mindless entertainment than in renewing their minds in the Word of God. And I think part of that just stems from the information world that we live in today. I've really been meditating on this. Our minds and our souls are so bombarded with information, news updates, text messages, all types of media platforms and outlets constantly giving us information. I mean, my goodness, I don't know about y'all, but your phone, sometimes it's of the devil. But, you know, I know I get so many tech, I get so much information. I know when lightning strikes within a mile of my house, because I'm going to get some kind of notification. I was getting so many notifications on my phone, Pinterest notifications, Facebook notifications, Instagram news notifications, weather notifications. You know, if somebody posts something on Facebook that I'm a friend with, that pops up on my phone. And you know what the problem with that is you go, oh gosh, and you open it. Well, 45 minutes later, six videos later, God only knows how many different Facebook posts later, you find yourself, oh my Lord, you know, you've burned the dinner or whatever, you know, because you got sucked into this vortex of this little machine here, this little computer. I don't know how many of y'all are guilty of that, but I'm telling you, to me, that's real life. I can't tell you how many times I have picked up my phone, maybe to make an important text message, and there's a notification. I'm like, oh gosh. And then 30, 45 minutes later, something comes up and I haven't even done what I first started out to do. It sucks you in. So we get all this information all the time. I turned off most of my notifications because it was an issue. It was getting to be an issue in my life. So, but all this information can be, I don't know about y'all, okay, but this is real life for me. It can be wearing. It can wear you down. We get so much unsolicited information that we're not really even looking for, and maybe totally not really truly interested in, but it's still coming at us all the time. We have enough, I have enough, maybe you don't, dealing with my own personal issues in life. Seriously. I mean, there's enough stuff going on in my little immediate world in Millbrook, Alabama. I don't need all that information. I don't need to know every time there's a shooting in California or Philadelphia, which was one was happening tonight, or wherever. And I'm not saying it's not, I've said this before, I'm not saying it's not important to be an informed person of what's going on in the world. But listen, we really truly don't need to know all that information. I want you to tell me what good it does you. What? Yeah, to know what elementary school the shooter went to. I guess they told us that tonight. I don't know. But we don't need all that information. We don't. We really, truly don't. Look, we need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for the safety of our children in public schools or private schools, any place in the world, any place they go. But look, when we're interceding and praying in the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us. He's going to bring things to our remembrance or to our mind, but places that we need to go or we don't need to go or we need to do or we don't need to do. We don't have to know that. Me knowing that there was a shooting in California or Philadelphia tonight is not adding anything to my life at all. It sucks stuff out of my life. And, you know, I'm sorry for those people. I don't want to sound like I don't care about what's going on in somebody's life. But honestly, you can't change it. What are you going to do about that? We can pray. Obviously, we pray, but we should be praying anyway. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, Holy Ghost could tell you something's going to happen before it even happens. But sometimes we just want to just have that mindless entertainment just to decompress because there's so much in a day's time that comes at our minds. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with some good old mindless entertainment once in a while. I mean, just to sit there and stare at something and not have to think about anything. I managed to find some kind of stupid BBC show or something to watch that really has about the depth of, you know, this much depth to it because it does not take any thought. And, you know, you don't have to put any energy into it. It's just like, you know, you sit there and drool and watch the show. So, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but what I am saying is that can't be what brings us peace. That can't be where we go to on a constant basis. There's no profit in it. There's very little profit in mindless entertainment. But we get used to it, and we forget where our real strength and where our real peace is going to come from. When we are weary, I've said this many, many times from the pulpit, the word will refresh us. And I want to say this too. This sounds terrible coming from a pastor. Sometimes you think, I think, maybe y'all don't. Maybe you're just more spiritual than me. But sometimes I'll think, I don't want to read the word. I don't want to stare at the screen. And I have no thought to it. But do you know what? When you do that, when you choose to take the time to just open up a scripture or go to a devotional or Rick Renner's book, that's always going to bring life to you, or anything. And you go ahead and you say, you know, I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I just want to, you know, vegetate. If you do that, there is a refreshing that comes. And you'll find yourself 30 minutes later being built up, being encouraged, maybe getting an answer that you needed, having peace in your heart and your spirit. That will come from the word. While mindless entertainment, you may feel good after you've done that, it hasn't added anything to your life. It won't give you any answers. The word will refresh you. Acts 3:19 says that times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. Now, y'all listen. Is the word true or not? I'm in here with a bunch of word people. You wouldn't be sitting here right now. The word is true. And if it says that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, then times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord comes when we put ourselves in the position to be in His presence. Because I promise you, He has not one time come to me and turned my iPad off when I was watching Father Brown and told me, you need to put that down and go spend time with me. Not once has He ever done that. So it's something that we purpose in our hearts, that we're going to get in His presence. And if it just starts with picking up Psalm 23 and reading that, because you're like, I don't even know what else to do. I'm telling you, that can build you up, and you start reading that word and meditating on it, and before long your heart is excited, you're refreshed in the things of the Lord, and you've got the energy and the impetus to do what you know that you need to do. He'll give you answers. Times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord, but I have to wonder if our hearts really do long to hear the voice of the Lord. Do we really long to be in His presence? Is that a longing that we have in our hearts? I have this little heart. It's a little wooden heart that my sister gave me years and years ago. And it has a scripture in Psalm 42, 1 and 2 on it. I'm going to read that out of the Amplified. It says, "As the heart pants and longs for water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?" That word, pant in Hebrew, means longs for. It means I long for you. And I wonder what do our, he said, it says, my inner self thirsts for you. What do our inner selves thirst for? Let's be introspective here tonight. What does my, I've asked myself these questions. What does my inner self thirst for? What do I long for? I mean, really, what do I long for? Now, we all long for peace. We all long for joy and happiness. We all long to walk in the blessing, the prosperity. We long for those good things in life. But let's get back to what comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Refreshing comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Peace comes from being in the presence of the Lord. Walking in the blessing comes from being in the presence of the Lord. It all comes from one source, and that one source is God, and only God. And I don't care what else we try to do, where else we try to go, how else we try to get it, all of that is superficial. It will not last in our lives. The one thing that will last is that intimate relationship with God. And that's it. That's the truth. There's no other way. And you know, we've tried, Alan and I, through our lives, you know, we tried ways. We tried ways to find joy. And it didn't come from any of the ways we tried. And we've been in this thing a long time now. And for us, we've told you, and obviously it's obvious because we haven't, but there's no going back. Because no matter what we tried back there, it didn't work. And there's nothing new today that's going to be anything better than the stuff we tried back there that can make me have what I have gotten by knowing Him. There's nothing. There's nothing. No matter what we did, and even since we've been saved, trying to do things in our own flesh, that hadn't worked either. It comes from knowing Him and hearing His voice and being in His presence. And I'm telling y'all, this is serious stuff. Because I know many believers that they're dealing, look, we deal with a lot of stuff in this world. We all got stuff. Everybody's got stuff that's going on in their own personal lives or the immediate family members' lives or your work situation. We all got stuff that's going on in our lives. And we know lots and lots of people who don't look to God for the answer. And we've got to be the ones that are examples of that, that they can see that we have that answer. And that answer only comes from Him. And no matter how many times we've tried to fix things in our flesh by trying to figure it out and trying to work it this way and trying to work it that way, it doesn't work. But I'm telling you, one word from God. There was a saying that, you know, was really popular years ago, and it was one word from God can change your life forever. And I want you to know, one word from God can change your life forever. That is true. That is a true statement. How many of y'all have ever gotten a word from God that literally changed your life? I have. Many different occasions. Somebody said something to me, and it was revelation knowledge, or it was a word from God for that moment right then. And I'm telling you, when you get a word from God for that moment right then, you never forget it, because you know it was God. Only God could have given you that word. He reveals himself for that way to us. I'm telling you, when I'm hungry or I'm thirsty, I will find something to fill that void. I mean, really, I will. Alan and I were at the car dealership the other day, and he's not like me when it comes to food, all right? Y'all, when I'm hungry, I mean, I'm really hungry. Elaine can attest to this. I got to eat. I mean, that's just the way I am. I don't know why. I just am. And we were at the car dealership the other day, and I missed lunch, okay? Now, lunch is my meal. I can miss breakfast. I can miss dinner, but not lunch. Lunch is my meal. And so we're at the car dealership, and I miss lunch, and I'm hungry. And we don't have a vehicle to get anywhere. He wouldn't have gone anywhere even if we could have, but I was hungry. And so I told Alan, I got to have food. I mean, I got to have something to eat. So I asked somebody in the car dealership, do y'all have a snack machine? I mean, I need food. And I'm thinking, you know, we're spending enough money. You ought to be buying my lunch anyway, but they didn't offer. In fact, I did ask him when he got there. He said, is there anything, you want a bottle of water? And I said, no, thank you. He says, is there anything else I can get you? I said, yeah, a salad from Panera. But he didn't do it. I think he should have. But anyway, but my whole point is I found that snack machine, and I got me a snack because I was hungry. Huh? I actually did. No, seriously, it got stuck. I didn't tell you that. It got stuck, and there was one of the employees. I'm standing there, and I'm fixing to put more money in because, you know, I'm going to get two snacks now because I'm hungry. And so I'm standing there, and this big young man comes up that works at the car dealership, and I looked at him. I said, my snack is stuck. And he said, I got this. Boom, 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 and out it came. I was like, yes, thank you, God. You have angels all around me. So my point is, though, when I am hungry, I'm going to take care of that situation. Have you ever been thirsty? Maybe y'all don't do this, but when I get really thirsty, I'm like, I have to have a drink of water now. I mean, like, right now. If you know me, I almost always have my sippy cup with me. I have a sippy cup, and I take it with me everywhere I go, because if I get thirsty, I got to have water, and I got to have it now. And so that's just the way I am. But you know what? I'm going to quench that thirst. I'm going to take care of that hunger. And when we are hungry and we are thirsty for something, really hungry and really thirsty for something, we're going to find it, because that's just the way we are. God made us to be conquerors. And we're going to conquer that situation. Amen? So anyway, I'm asking you, and I'm asking myself, what are we really hungry for? I mean, really, seriously, what are we really hungry for? You know, people are hungry for fame. They're hungry for making, you know, being rich. They're hungry for good relationships. They're hungry for a lot of things. But you know what? Every one of those things are solved through knowing him and through having that relationship for him. So I'm just really seriously asking myself that question, and I want to challenge you to seriously ask yourself that question. Alan and I have talked many, many times over the years about, you know, you've heard the testimony about us, you know, the cassette tapes and the Piggly Wiggly sacks, and we've talked many times over the years about listening to cassette tapes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And but, you know, one thing I don't think we talk a whole lot about is how much we still do that at home. And I'm not talking about cassette tapes. We don't, in fact, we were just talking about, we still have them. I guess we're going to stacks of them. We need to get rid of them. Who's got a cassette tape player? Anyway, I'll get you some tapes. I don't even know if they work anymore. But anyway, but we still do at home. Not always necessarily to prepare for a sermon. We still do listen to CDs. We still do read a lot. We read books. We read the Word. We read other information. We still do listen to our MP3s that we have. I mean, we still do that. It's not the thing of the past. And that's what we have to do. That's what we all need to do. Because, you know, you're in the bathroom, ladies. This isn't for the men. You're in the bathroom and you're putting on your makeup. Now, for me, that's a really long process. So I can get a whole lot of teaching in while I'm putting on my makeup. You're in the bathroom. You're getting ready for your day. Man, come on. We got iPads, iPhones, Androids, you name it, we got it. You can have that little bad boy sitting right there playing something. Listen to somebody. BVOVN is on 24/7. You got the Word 24/7 at your fingertips, the Word of faith. Anytime you want it. So we don't have an excuse to not be putting the Word in at all. And we shouldn't even want an excuse to be putting the Word in. I saw this Facebook post the other day. I'm not sure if Kim posted it or who, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, science says we need four basic elements to survive: water, air, food, and light. And look what the Bible tells us about Jesus. He says, I am the living water. I am the breath of life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Science was right. We need Jesus to live. I read that. I thought, I love that. That is so cool. Science is right. We need Jesus. And we need to be in his presence. And we need to know him. And we need to know him in an intimate way that we're hearing his voice on a continual basis. That we know that we know that we know that he's guiding us, that he's leading us, that we've had that time with him when something that comes up in our lives during the day, it doesn't throw us for a loop. Because why? Because we've got the peace of God. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We've got the anointing to overcome any situation that comes our way. We've got the authority in the Word of God to speak it forth. If you know what the Word says, you can speak that forth in every single situation of your life. We are armed from head to toe, front and back, side, up and down. But you know what? We have to put ourselves in that position. It's important. It's a matter. We say this over and over again, but I am so true, so convinced it is a matter of life and death. It is literally a matter of life and death. The word that you put in your heart, the time that you spend with God, and it may not be your personal life or death. It may be somebody else's life or death, that you can speak the word over them. Today we were in the office praying. We have had some of the strange diseases come up with kids, blood diseases, rare diseases. It's like, and Geppetto said, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And so we just stopped and held hands and prayed over these students that are being diagnosed with this strange stuff. Look, we can speak the word of life, but you know what? If you don't know it, you can't speak it. And if you haven't been in his presence and you aren't walking in the power, and you are not going to have the confidence to speak forth what the word of God says because you don't know who's backing you, because you haven't spent time in that presence. So I got to say, what's up with the Christians? What is up with the Christians? Why don't they want to spend more time in the Word? How do we expect to walk in the power and the authority of God when we haven't even been in his presence? How do we expect to walk in those things when we don't even know what we have? Only God, he provides those things for us. And he has provided it. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:3. Y'all know I read this scripture a lot. I hope you have it almost memorized. 2 Peter 1:3, and I'm going to read that in the Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal, say full personal. Part-time? Just a little here and there? Full personal. That doesn't mean it's because your spouse knows God or your pastor knows God or your mom or dad or aunt or uncle. It's the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. That word requisite, where it says all things that are requisite and suited to life, that word requisite means essential, necessary, required, and mandatory. All things that are essential for life, all things that are necessary and required for life, all things that are mandatory for life, he has provided them. He has bestowed them upon us. He has given it to us. We should not be below. We should not be struggling. We should know who we are in him and the power and the authority we have in him, because he has bestowed it to us, it says. All things that are necessary, essential. All things that are essential to life and godliness. But it says it comes through that full personal knowledge. Doesn't come because you came to church. I'm glad y'all are here, because I wouldn't have anybody to preach at, and then I'd be all discouraged. So I'm glad you're here. But I'm telling you, you're hearing the word. But it takes applying it. It does. Going to church just ain't good enough. If you come Sunday night, Wednesday night, go to another church on Friday night, and Saturday morning, unless you're developing that full personal relationship with him, that fellowship. That scripture says he has called us by and to his own glory. He has called us by his own glory and excellence, and he has called us to his own glory and excellence. Some people think, well, you can't really walk in the power of God and the glory of God, and you can't really know him, and you know, yeah, he's God and everything, but you know, there are limits. I don't think so. We limit ourselves. Yeah, sure, there are limits, but those limits are put there by us. It says he has called us by his own glory and excellence, and he has called us to his own glory and excellence. His. Not yours. It's not your glory, and it's not your excellence. He has called us to, by his glory and excellence, and to his glory and excellence. How short do we fall from walking in that? I mean, I think I fall pretty short when I compare my glory and excellence to his. So I'm saying this, it doesn't matter how long we're in this thing, there's always more to go. Always more to go. And you know what? I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. I'm keeping on. I'm going to continue to seek him. I'm going to continue to work toward, not in my own flesh, obviously, because it's his glory and it's his excellence that we're headed for, but we're headed for that by that full personal knowledge of him. And how do we get that? By spending time with him. By spending time in the word, by spending time in his presence, by spending time in prayer. Look, you can be putting on, and I've done this, I'm fixing to close. I've done this more times than I can even tell you, getting ready for work in the morning. And I've got, normally it's BVOVN plan. Now it's Victory TV or Victory Network or Victory something. Still the same app. Download the app, BVOVN app. Put it on your whatever device. click it on in the morning when you're getting ready for work or wherever you're going for the day. And just let it run. A lot of y'all have apps on your TVs. If you've got Roku, you got it on your TV. Roku is on Roku. I play it 24/7. Now, that's not the only network. There's lots and lots of Christian networks. I'm just saying that one's there and available. But so I'll be listening to that in the morning, and I have a little notebook that I keep on my counter in my bathroom. It doesn't look very lovely, but it is what it is. Neither does the rest of the counter. But so I'll be listening to whoever's preaching at the moment, and I mean, Holy Spirit will quicken stuff to me, and I'll stop and I'll jot it down real quick while I'm putting my makeup on, or maybe just have myself a little moment right there and just thank you, Jesus, have myself a little party, you know, build you up. Look, you need to be built up before you go out for the day. There's no doubt about that. So it's that spending that personal time with Him, not just with like listening to someone, but your own personal intimate time of prayer, just communicating with God and however, whatever way you do that, and then also putting it in from other sources. Listen to Pastor Allen's teachings. My goodness, it's we've got the podcast now you can listen to. It's on Facebook, you can listen to it. I mean, maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe it's just that the church is so saturated that we just take it for granted. We could listen to that anytime, but then we don't. I love y'all, and I appreciate you being here tonight and listening to me rant and rave. I'm not done, but I'm quitting because it's 8 o'clock and everybody wants to go home. But I just want to challenge you, each and every one of us, challenge ourselves. Where are we going in our walk with God? What are we doing? And are we doing our part? And I don't even like to use that word because that kind of gets into the whole works things, and I don't believe in works either. But are we doing what we know will cultivate an intimate relationship with God? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we love you. Father, we thank you that you have provided everything we need to live a life of victory here upon this earth, to live a life in your presence, to live a life of knowing you and hearing your voice. And Father, we just commit ourselves tonight to take that next step in our lives, whatever that next step is for each one of us, that next step toward you and with you, walking with you, Father, developing our relationship to the next level with you. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your presence in our lives. Father, I bless the people tonight. I thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. I bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.